plan a cold open.
Yeah, no. You never plan a cold open.
No.
Oh.
Those were the worst cold opens.
My name is Robbie DeShazer, and I love craft beer. Living in Austin, the craft beer capital of Texas, there's no shortage of great brews to try out. That's why I decided to make this show. I got my best friends Carter and Wendy with me, and together we're going to try new beers and really stretch ourselves to the limits of our taste buds. Because we know that beer is more than just the fizzy yellow stuff you see on TV. This is Tap Heads.
You gotta say your thing. You have a very iconic introduction, like the way you say "Welcome to Tap Heads."
I say it. I don't.
Yeah, you do. You go, "Welcome to Tap Heads." That's why I'm like, I can't take that. I want to hear you say it. Now there's pressure on me.
Go for
See,
it.
And now he's all up in his head because he didn't think he did it a certain way.
I didn't think I did it a certain way. Do I need to
nice
stop?
Nice job, Wendy. You ruined the whole podcast.
Now we're just going to have to do it completely differently. Welcome to Tap Heads.
Oh, we should hold auditions.
Matey.
I don't know.
This here be Tap Heads.
All right. Well, welcome to Tap Heads, the only podcast
the only
in the world.
The only pirate-friendly
where...
podcast on the web.
Yeah. And... whatever, Carter's dumb. The only show on the internet where Robbie brings his friends and shows them the beautiful world of craft beer.
Yeah. Welcome to Tap Heads. that's the show. Yeah, let's introduce everybody. I am Robbie DeShazer at Robbie DeShazer on Twitter and Instagram.
And Untapped.
And Untapped. Oh, I'm at Robbie _ DeShazer on Instagram. There's an imposter out there.
Fake AF.
I'm trying so hard to get that account. It has never posted anything.
Dang.
It's just hell.
Should we report
what
it?
What if you made it like a long time ago and you forgot?
Absolutely.
And it actually
didn't.
Belongs to you.
Oh, maybe. No, because there's a picture. There is a profile picture that's not me.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to remain anonymous.
Why would you remain anonymous on Instagram with
but
your
using
name?
My full name?
Exactly.
Okay.
You were a child.
To my right is the one, the only, at Wendy with a W on Twitter, at Wendy with a W on Untapped, Wendy with a W.
Hello there! Hello! I just said I was going to lower my voice, and then I just yelled again into the mic.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's Wendy with a W. I apologize for every episode when I yell into the mic. But yeah,
that's
like
what people
here.
Like about it, don't?
Yeah. Just always thankful.
Don't sell yourself
future.
Short.
Oh, thanks, friend.
You're great. To her left, or to her right, my left...
Yeah, we're going counterclockwise.
At CA Spilliards on Twitter.
Me.
At CA Spilliards on Untapped.
That is me.
At Carter at CA Spilliards on Instagram.
I believe it's Carter Spilliards or Carter dot Spilliards on Instagram? Carter _ Spilliards?
Something.
One of those. Some combination of that.
Do you post there?
Not often, no.
Okay.
So I don't really pub it.
Carter Spilliards.
It's me.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then, of course, to
his right and your left.
His right, my immediate left.
Mm-hmm. And across from me.
Across from Wendy.
Yeah.
Picture a table. It is circular and square at the same time.
If you draw a diagram and send it to us, we'll give you the
points. How are
there
corners and not
right.
corners right now?
At AMZessen on Twitter. At AMZessen on Untapped.
On Instagram, on Untapped, I am Zesty Zessen, but I don't check it as much as you guys. I'm pretty bad about that.
Me too.
You're really divided in half.
I think I've logged like one beer on Untapped.
I only log new beers. Like, I don't do repeated beers.
Oh, I do repeated beers.
Though. I do new beer.
I don't do every repeated beer, but I do some of them, especially if it's
every beer is
noteworthy.
Different.
Like, you know, I tried Live Oak Hefeweizen from the can the first time I tagged it, and then I had it from the brewery, and mm-hmm. I tagged it again there as like a...
Could you taste the difference?
This is fantastic direct from the tap.
Yes,
right?
Very much. From the tap, it tastes like
a
cloud.
On a clean line dedicated to that beer. Like,
I'm just afraid of like my family looking at my Untapped and being disappointed that I keep having the same beers over and over again and don't really try anything new.
Does your family care that much about your beer drinking?
No, they don't care much about me at all.
Oh. All right. real quick, Robbie, unrelated. Where should I talk from? Can I talk from here?
Here.
Or my, you know, I don't want to yell, so I don't want to talk from here. But if it's fine me talking from here.
Well, if you're going to talk from there, okay, you're good.
Okay, so no yelling. So I shouldn't get too close to the mic.
You can get about as close as I get to the mic.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. Wendy's super self-conscious about this now after listening. to the last the punishment episode.
It happens multiple times. It's not just that
one. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. People have control of the volume in their car, in their ears, whatever.
Yeah.
Phoenix, I'm gonna ask you as a pleb, do you turn down the volume on podcasts when it gets too loud?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
That's a no.
Well, Phoenix wasn't any help. Get out of here.
All right. What are we doing? Oh, wait. What do you want to start with? We want to go with...
Yeah, let's talk about beers we've had since the last episode we recorded, which was very recent. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that I've had anything new.
You had anything interesting, Wendy?
Not new. Just I had Temptress and some...
You're working through that two-year-old Temptress you've got.
Quite delicious.
It's so good. It mellowed so well.
I had two, and I had another beer... like Saturday night when we're hanging out, and then I fell asleep, and then I apparently woke up mid sleep. Don't remember that.
Oh,
so it really put me to bed.
Let's see if there's anything I've had. The only thing I've had was Pseudo Sue from Toppling Goliath Brewery. They're a Midwestern brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Great use of Citra hops. A fantastic hazy IPA, or is it? No, it's just a pale ale.
Whatever.
I have a nice picture of it on my Untapped, and I'll show you guys. Aww. It looks like
Robbie does a
juice.
Good job of remembering to take pictures. I don't. It looks like juice. Let me see. Oh, that's a pretty color.
Yeah,
it looks
great.
Like mango.
Yeah. Other than that, once again, that's another one I got from my trading partner Pete, who is sending
Aww.
Me fantastic beers from the Midwest.
You go, Pete.
Including a now favorite of mine. I am addicted to Zombie Dust from Three Floyds Brewing. So
cool, cool.
Have I had anything else? Dumb Foam from Eighth Wonder in Houston. They have it at Round Rock Express Games. It's my typical go-to there.
Cool.
Which is a nice cream ale. Yeah. Austin, have you had anything since the last... Have you drank any beer since the last time you were on the show?
Last time I was here was like a month ago?
Yeah.
It was a month ago. I've had a good amount of beers. I think in recent memory, I was at the Emerald Tavern trying out their... They just opened. Trying out their tap selection. Big, big shout-outs to the Allstat Hell's Lager. I mean, I've had it before, but it's just really clean and crisp and perfect during the summer. They also had on Nitro Tap Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Wendy was talking about that the last episode.
So what were your thoughts? It's totally fine.
I thought it was... I mean, I love stouts, and I like nitros. So it's not as good as the Left Hand Milk Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as good as the Temptress, but...
No,
it was pretty creamy and chocolatey, though.
See, I'm going to have it again today. Because the thing is that
when
I had it really late, and it wasn't very cold. And Carter had it, he really enjoyed it. So I'm like, what's going on? So I think I just need to...
I think the problem is that the place that we had it, they don't chill their beer glasses. But there's not really a place for them to put a cooler in to chill those like big tavern-like glasses.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the beer itself wasn't very cold. And I don't know if it was just because it was meant to be... Not that cold. I don't know. But it had nitro in the name, so I was like... Hmm.
Nitro doesn't necessarily mean cold, though. Mm. That is the...
It just means nitrogen.
Oh, yeah, you know what I did have? Sorry, I hate to interrupt, except before I forget.
It's your beard.
The Meridian Hive Black... It was like Meridian Hive Rhapsody Blackberry Mead.
Okay.
How's that? I've only had the honey mead.
Ooh. Yeah, I've only had their honey mead.
The blackberry, you have to have... You have to really like blackberry and really like that tang.
Uh-huh.
I do like blackberry.
You're
it's one of the berries I like in drinks.
I like the word tang.
It's got a good tang to it. It's very, it's tough to, you have to really sip it, but it's like, ooh, it's so good. Right on the tip of your tongue. Great.
Is it as sweet as like regular mead?
A little bit tartar.
Cool. I wouldn't try that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, let's get into this episode. I already said it a couple minutes ago.
No, I didn't have any.
Okay,
I had a six pack of Live Oak Hefeweizen as per the usual.
That's fine. That's Carter.
Summer is ending hard.
Summer is ending hard. All of my favorite summer beers. I mean, luckily they're all year round, but...
He will be drinking... Catch him this cold mid-December. shugging Selous White.
Still drinking Selous White.
Oh my gosh.
He will have installed a keg in his own...
Honestly, if I could, I would. I would have that beer every day.
Oh my god.
But
forgetting to go back to the brewery.
We'll go sometime. We'll go next week. We got to go to Beer Works and...
Beer Works and Cellus are very close to each other.
Yeah, we can get some new ones, too.
And they're very close to the Emerald Tavern.
That's true. My favorite place in the world.
What an afternoon that would be.
All right. So today we're doing Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest.
What does Oktoberfest
but
mean?
But it's only September.
I know. Well, Oktoberfest in Germany is actually celebrated in September, which is a very... It bleeds in from one month into the other.
Can you,
it's a very long festival.
Do we do the rest of the episode in German accents?
Nope.
Okay.
Don't.
I'm not
Carter's got a sexy German accent.
Ooh, no. You have to... Now you have to bust it out.
Oh, I can't do it until I drink some of the Oktoberfest beer.
Is this going to be your reaction? Okay. So let's talk about Oktoberfest beers.
Well, can you start with Oktoberfest first?
What, like...
Yeah, just like, what's Oktoberfest?
It's a festival in Germany that was... I don't know much of the history around the actual event.
Yeah.
Originally, it was intended to celebrate the marriage between a young king and the joining of two kingdoms, and it was a five-day festival in which Marzen-style lagers were consumed. Mm. Now, here's where we get into the beer stuff, because now it's synonymous with the beer that is served there and the, you know, the... weeks-long party in Munich. There are typically two kinds of Oktoberfest beers. There's the traditional Marzen Lager, and there's what's served more frequently now, which is called a fest beer. So a Marzens are a lager that is pretty much synonymous with Oktoberfest. That's why so many Oktoberfest beers are Marzens.
Right.
The beer gets its name from the German word for March, which is the month that the original beers were brewed in, and it tends to be a full-bodied beer that's a bit darker than most other lagers.
Okay.
Except for, you know, notable examples of dark lagers like Dunkels and Schwarz beers and stuff like that.
I love a good Dunkel.
A Dunkel is good. So these original Marzens were a lot closer to a Dunkel than what we're actually going to be having today, and what's become known as the style that, you know, style shift over time, and the Marzen has become a little bit more distinct and a little bit more its own style. What they were drinking in, you know, the at the first Oktoberfest was probably closer to a Dunkel. Because German brewing laws only allowed you to brew from September till April. And so what happened was they needed a beer that they could brew in March and then drink throughout those months when they weren't allowed to brew. And so that first Oktoberfest, they were just drinking the last of their supply of Marzens, was what they were doing.
Cool.
Fest beers is what you think of when you see Oktoberfest in, like, pictures and stuff. It's that light lager, that light yellow lager. It's a breadier. It's got a medium bitterness and a pilsner-like finish, and it's known as the Fest beer. A lot lighter than Marzen lagers. It drinks easier than the ABV suggests, which is usually between 8 and 6%. These are 5.8 to 6%, and you're going to be able to tell that it's a 5.8% lager, whereas a Fest beer, you're going to think it's more in line with a Pilsner in terms of alcohol.
Okay.
But it is higher in alcohol. So,
just want to real quick give you a shout out. I thought that was a beautiful explanation.
I did a ton of research this afternation.
It's really good.
Well, it really shows. It's great.
All the beers we are drinking tonight, though, are Marzens.
Cool.
As that's the current prevailing style here in America, and what most of our listeners are probably going to think of when they think Oktoberfest. There's one we don't have here tonight with us, which is probably the most synonymous with the season and with craft beer getting into the Oktoberfest style, which is Sam Adams' Oktoberfest. It's the one you can find everywhere. It's probably the one that usually comes out first.
Yeah.
And signals when Oktoberfest is about to begin, or when all the craft breweries are going to start putting out Marzen lagers and calling them Oktoberfest beers.
Cool.
So, that being said, we've got three that are from Germany, kind of. So, one of our beers tonight is from Altstadt Brewery, which has a brewery here in Fredericksburg, Texas, which is an exact replica of its German brewery. So, they're using the they're doing the same recipe. They import their water. It's the exact same beer. It's just made here in Fredericksburg.
Nice.
And distributed in the United States, which is a really cool system that they've worked out to get fresher beers to their American audience. The other two are traditional imports. So let's start out with Polliner Oktoberfest Marzen. This one is probably the original, the most synonymous with the style and with the actual festival in Germany. So like I said, it's a Marzen.
Hey, before we continue, I just had to just throw this idea out there. Dunkel donuts for next week's episode.
No.
What does that mean?
You're fired. I hope you're not. I don't want Austin to ever come back.
That's
dumb
fair.
Uncles that eat donuts.
No, no. Dunkel is a style of. It's yeah. a German style of beer.
And so
we drink Dunkels and then we eat like donuts.
Ew.
No.
No.
Dunkel donuts.
No. Why would you? No.
Co-sponsorship. I don't know.
Duncan does do a beer collaboration with Harpoon Brewery.
Ah.
Is it a Dunkel?
Nope.
Then why
it's
are we talking
coffee
about
porter.
Because that someone wants a proper sense. Idea.
So this Thank is Polliner Hefeweizen. It's a nice copper color. Very, yeah. very clear.
I was going to say pretty dark.
Extremely filtered.
Not very so... clear. That's an... You said filtered. Right. And we're going to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
These beers aren't clear because they're filtered in uh-huh. the traditional sense. They're... Because they're brewed in March,
uh-huh.
traditionally. So some of them that don't brew in March will filter them like normal beer.
Right.
But these German-style ones, because they're left to ferment for so long...
Yeah.
It creates an incredibly clear beer.
Wow.
So, while there is minor filtering mm-hmm. to get,
right,
like,
right. But no,
debris
but this
and stuff out of there, this is, like...
This is extremely yeah. clear.
And that's due to that long fermentation
wow.
time.
Well, it smells like a beer.
Yes. Say, oh,
it smells
definitely.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. It smells very fantastic.
Proud, yeah. All right. Drink up, boys. What do we think? Prost. Prost. How do you say it?
Prost.
Prost. Prost.
5.8% ABV, 20 IBUs.
Oh, this is delicious.
That's very clear.
Oh, so malt forward.
Mm.
So easy to drink.
I'm getting toffee. Lots of toffee, yeah. lots of caramel. Nice. And
I say, I love the malt.
Mm, this is fantastic. This is great. I was worried because, once again, it's an import in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a clear bottle, not a green bottle, an amber bottle, but still.
You never
every
know.
Time something comes over on a boat in yeah. a bottle, you just mm-hmm. don't know what's going to happen with it.
Oh, this is delicious.
I tried to grab the furthest back from the aisle that I could, like just reach back and grab something that wasn't being hit by liquor store light, you know. Just
in the dark crevices of
yeah,
the whatever shelf it was on.
This is, and once again, we have six beers tonight. There's a million different Oktoberfests mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we grabbed this one, though. It is.
Yeah.
It's one of the true, there's technical stuff with Oktoberfest in Germany that there's only like six breweries that can actually make Oktoberfest beer because it has to be within, brewed within a certain time for a certain amount of time, and mm-hmm. it has to be brewed within the city limits of Munich or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, Polliner Brewing in Munich, Germany.
So would you say, because I've never had an Oktoberfest beer, do you think this is a good kind of like representation of what most of them will typically resemble?
I think this is, yeah, most of these Marzens are going to be very malt forward.
Mm-hmm.
This is a particularly sweet
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is very kind of sweet.
Okay.
One thing you're going to get in all of these that I think, for the most part, is a very crisp finish.
Yeah.
You can tell that as soon as you're done drinking this beer, the flavors, you know, it doesn't linger on your tongue a whole
yeah.
lot. Other mm-hmm. more than, you know. Anything else you drink, mm-hmm. this is...
It's not terribly bitter, either.
Yeah, not terribly... None of these are going to be terribly bitter. I think our highest IBU is 35, and that's a very contemporary mm-hmm. American take on it.
Yeah,
so.
No, this is delicious.
I love
enjoyed.
This beer. So, here, I'll let Wendy do a bottle analysis here, talk about the art while I...
All right, there's a lot of ladies on this label. Big German-looking ladies, older women... Tough, carrying multiple canisters of, I assume, a beer.
It's probably Steins.
Steins, yes. I don't know. It's pretty cool. Just pretty chill. It's obviously a foreign label.
Yeah. Carter, do you have anything else to add
yeah,
to
Carter's
this?
Yeah, Carter's probably better at describing this. It's more his
He's got a lot of German...
More German in him.
Vocabulary.
Wunderbar.
Oh, yeah, it's time for you to bust out that sexy accent.
I know. I have to do it after I drink the beer, though.
The one that is the sexiest?
Yes. It's the sexiest beer.
There we go. That was it.
Calm down, oh. ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that can.
1634. No, it's got a lot of, like, large German maids, like, waitresses bringing
Yeah, it looks like Oktoberfest.
Yeah, very Oktoberfest.
Minus big fat dudes in lederhosen.
Yep. This does have a startling lack of lederhosen.
I don't think any of these have lederhosen on them. This one is a very Oktoberfest bottle. This
I want
next
one that
one.
Comes in. I noticed these bottles in particular, the neck is very like long
yeah.
and slender.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a particular thing?
It might just be German.
Is that just like a German bottles?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Because these aren't the same as like the other bottle, which I'm assuming is not from Germany.
But this is also quite clear.
Do you think quite clear? A little less coppery, a little more yellow.
I was going to say, this one's a little bit lighter.
This is Hockershore.
Not as much head.
Original Oktoberfest Amber Marzen. It's got a very Oktoberfest label to it.
Oh, yeah.
Checkered flag. It's got a beer winch riding a horse side saddle. It's got
kind of a neat metallic-y finish on it.
Yeah, I love the packaging A+.
Yeah.
Here, I'll hand this to, over to Carter.
The nose, I'm getting something interesting.
Is that skunky or is it just...
I can't tell if it... I'm going to have to taste it, but...
Yeah.
It's got almost like a... Not citrus, just kind of a soury note in the nose. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of that. I don't have nearly as much because we're splitting one bottle between four people, so I poured myself a pretty tiny amount.
But...
Yeah, it smells a bit skunky.
There's something kind of...
I can't tell if it's skunk or if that's just glassware that's been washed and had beer in it so many times.
Not to the point that I don't want to drink it.
I don't really, like... taste anything? Is that weird?
Hmm?
I'm not really getting anything.
I'm getting a lot. Very kind of weedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got what I love, which is a very kind of weedy aftertaste.
A very distinct grain bill.
Kind of a yeasty.
I'm getting some of those noble hops that you get in something like the, what is it? Victory, their Pilsner.
The Victory Pils.
Yeah, whatever it was. The Prima Pils.
Yeah, right.
A lot of those noble hops, which is very German.
This one's like even less bitter than
but
the other one.
Yeah, it's definitely not bitter. Not
this
very
one
bitter
is
like
5.8% ABV. I couldn't find IBUs listed anywhere. Mm-hmm. Germany doesn't really keep track of that kind of stuff. That's a very American thing to...
It's very kind of creamy.
Yeah?
I think.
I don't have much of an
that finish is really well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can get the... I feel like the aftertaste is very yeasty.
Yeah. The Polliner was a lot more crisp, I noticed.
Yeah.
This washes away very cream-like.
Like ours are very creamy-like, yeah.
The other one, it felt like once you were done sipping, that it was like, beer's done. Like, eat a bite of your food. You know, have a bite of your sausage or your pretzel.
But I get that this, like, every drink is very yeasty.
Yeah.
Would you bring pretzels?
I did not bring
pretzels. There's
pretzels
on the counter.
I want soft pretzels.
No, they're hard pretzels.
Yeah, but I want soft pretzels.
That's what's served at Oktoberfest.
Like a mustard or a cheese dip of some kind.
Well, we're going to go to the tavern.
Can I get one of those, Carter?
Yes. I did not realize you didn't already have one.
Make yourself useful.
I didn't think I would need one because we're really distinguishing small differences between beers.
But no, this is very distinct from the first one, so.
Yeah, I don't feel like this has as distinct of a malt bill. Carter thinks this is very different, if you didn't hear that. The malt bill on this is not as toffee and caramel forward as the other one.
Yeah, I can get how you said the other one was very sweet.
A little more weedy.
Yeah, even though clearly not a wheat beer, because it's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a standard German barley lager.
So, I know we previously talked about this in roasting malts.
Yes.
So, in these, would you say that they still do that... And do you think the time typically differs for these?
So these are roasted malts, but not in the same way that like a black malt is used for a stout or a Schwarz beer or something like that.
Okay.
This is a pretty dark malt. Mm-hmm. Once again, because Marzen styles were meant to last from March to September with just getting better and not like deteriorating, they upped the hop count. So like, something that we think of as being 20 IBUs today was a lot to put in a beer way back when they were making these. You know, so a lot more hops than they usually would do, a lot darker malts than they usually would on something like a standard lager.
Because over time, those flavors tend to mellow out, correct?
Yeah, tend to mellow out, and they also preserve well, especially hops. Hops are a very good preservative.
Okay. Of IPAs.
Yeah.
Honestly... I'm a little surprised at kind of how distinct these are.
Yeah.
Because to me, the first one was very almost kind of candied, had a lot of the very malt forward, very kind of almost the kind of burnt sugar, like caramel, toffee kind of thing in the first one. The second one is very kind of grain forward, kind of yeasty, creamier.
Yeah, agreed. I can totally get that.
It doesn't quite have as strong of a head. It's actually got a very kind of smooth head and a very characteristic finish, which I liked a lot. It's very, very drinkable. I mean, they're both extremely drinkable. Yeah. The first one, this one, I don't think is nearly as crisp as the first one.
Not
that's
at all.
What we were just talking about. Yeah.
That's why I think when you described it as creamy, I'm like, the finish is very creamy.
Mm-hmm. Finish is very, very creamy.
So what's our next one?
I liked it. We are moving on. I already kind of introduced it earlier, talking about Altstadt. This is Altstadt Brewery's Oktoberfest. It's their premium German-style Marzen. I'm going to go ahead and start pouring this guy out.
Ooh.
I think that almost has to be a German-style bottle. Cause,
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, because Altstadt imports almost everything that they can from Germany to make the beer, even in the canning process.
Yeah.
Or canning and bottling process. Not that they do cans, but because that wouldn't be very German of them now.
I'm just curious about if that particular shape of the bottle serves the beer any better.
I don't know for sure.
Because I know there are certain, you know, shapes of, you know,
it looks
wine
like
bottles and things that can affect the wine and kind of how it's housed.
I mean, with that shape, you're probably going to get more of a scent from the aromatics.
Yeah. Or if it maybe it's pressurized better in the, like,
I always have a bad sense of smell.
Nah, they're just using centimeters instead of inches.
So exactly. I'll give this to Wendy to do some bottle analysis.
You've got the
checkered flag.
That's
a very Oktoberfest.
Really picking up on
shield. Are you picking
this
up?
It smells
smell?
Very lagery.
Yeah, I was gonna say this smells very kind of generic lager.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was like, I couldn't tell if I'm just not picking up anything, but it's pretty fine.
My head stuck around pretty well. I got some.
Mine still. I still got a little bit.
It's
a little bit darker.
Nice rocky.
It's kind of golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of sits between the two in color because that Polliner was very copper, and in comparison, that the Hockerfjord is very golden.
Ooh. I'm getting a lot more body out of
this
one.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
it's very kind of tastes like toast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I
tastes
like
a slice of toast.
A little bit. Much more body than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, still a very crisp finish.
I was gonna say, got a very crisp finish.
Yeah.
What is that? There's like a flavor to this.
Toast.
I want to say it's toast. Even it's almost
it's
like a
bready,
different
yeah.
style of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mean, it's still a Marzen, but it's almost like it's stealing from another.
Yeah. It's got some of the elements of a.
This one I'm picking up a lot of malt on the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very kind of goes malt into the toast, and then a very crisp finish.
Yeah.
Not really picking up much beyond that, though. I mean, it's a little bit sweet, kind of from the.
Not
that's
picking
what I
up
get.
A ton of hops or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, not really picking up hops.
For me,
not
I feel
super
like
bitter.
Every time I drink it, I get like something sweet, and then I get that bready finish.
Yeah, this is only 19 IBUs. When you,
I was gonna say it's not.
But you're not gonna
not
pick
really
up
bitter at all.
A big difference between 19 and 20. So.
No.
So I would probably put the Hockerfjord at about 22 IBUs. It wasn't too much more, but it'll be similar to what we have when we get back from the break.
Yeah. I like this one a lot. So far, it's 3 for 3. I'm really enjoying all of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time deciding if I like this one or the Polliner. If I like that one better, just because it's like, I like the flavor of this Altstadt a lot, but the Polliner, like, just has a crisper finish that I like.
This might actually be. What was the Altstadt you were saying they have?
The Hell's Lager, but the Hell's Lager is like such a crisper finish. Like,
I have not had the Hell's Lager.
It's a very light body. It's I hate it. It tastes really good, but it's almost like water.
Yeah,
I mean, then again, I was like trying a bunch of the heavier beers and then went to that one.
I went to their brewery back in March or April in Fredericksburg. I was going to say, they have a gorgeous beer brewery, and it's a lot of fun to visit. Their beers weren't all up to snuff. I don't know if that's just because they're pretty new to, like, brewing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're brewing from recipes from, you know, a very storied brewery in Germany, but
they probably didn't catch up to modern, Western recipes.
Yeah, they're just. Yeah. And so, this might be, I haven't tried the Hell's Lager. This might be my second favorite beer I've had from them. My favorite, of course, their Kolsch is fantastic.
Yeah. Consistent, good.
They've got it consistently. It may be my second favorite Kolsch out on the market right now, with St. Elmo Karl Kolsch still being my absolute favorite. And Santo, with an asterisk by it, because it's not quite a Kolsch, but it's
good.
It's very good.
All right.
But yeah, this is a good alt stop beer. Very good Oktoberfest beer. I think we're going to
take a break.
Wait, before we take a break. Okay. Yes. Okay, before I forget, Polliner, if you're listening, just hear me out. Get your advertising team, have them listen to this 5 seconds. Just hear me out. Polliner Abdul.
No. Fired again.
Yep. Tune in after the break when Austin's been gagged.
Yeah.
And we're back!
Okay, so Polliner Abdul, right?
No,
all
right.
No.
We fired you.
Hear me out.
Wouldn't Pilsner Abdul be better? I don't know.
No.
It's like we make it a cocktail. We do a Manhattan. No. And we add a little bit of the
Randy,
Polliner Abdul.
Randy what? Pilsner Jackson. Is that what we meant? Pilsner Simon? No, wait. What's his name?
Pilsner Simon.
Schwarzbier Cowell.
Wait, what's the name of... what's the name of the other American Idol judge that's always mean?
Simon Cowell.
Oh, I got the names wrong.
Pilsner Simon.
Because
Stout Cowell.
I thought it was... I didn't think it was Simon Cowell. I thought it was Paul Simon.
No, Paul Simon's somebody different. acclaimed musician Paul Simon.
Fine.
From Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah. Short man.
All right. Cool. Yeah, we've got 3 more Oktoberfest beers, Oktoberfest Marzens to try.
What's the next one?
This one kind of bridges the gap between the Altstadt, which is a German brewery brewing here in the States.
It's a short bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolute unit.
But she looks a little thick.
This is Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest.
You can tell because the checker pattering looks different. It still has a little checkered flag.
Well,
but it's different and new and young.
Yes. Since 2015, Sierra Nevada had started brewing all of their Oktoberfest beers with other German breweries, so as to add a little authenticity to the beer.
That's a big boy.
Very curious to try it, because I don't necessarily enjoy Sierra Nevada beers that much.
No, yeah, the rest of their stuff's kind of garbage, but their Oktoberfest really
good. Wow.
I like the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale quite well.
I don't like the pale ale.
Isn't it pretty popular?
Yeah, it's one of the most popular craft beers in the world.
Yeah.
This year, the first couple of years, they had teamed with smaller breweries from Germany.
Keep going.
This time around, last year was kind of their first big collab with anyone. I'm going to give you
exciting label.
It looks the same color as the one before.
I think it looks
a lot more copper. It's closer to the
darker. Very coppery.
So this is a collaboration.
Ladies
with,
and gentlemen, if you look at all these beers, they look about the same color.
This is a collaboration with Bitburger Brewery in Germany. This is another Marzen. So last year's was a fest beer with another large brewery that I'm blanking on which one it was. Weizenstampfer or something like that. It was something very German.
I'm wafting the beer.
Once again, smells very...
Beer.
Beery. Mine smells a little metallic, but I can't tell if that was...
It's weird. It came in a glass of bottle. Because
I just washed this cup. I don't know. But
I'm getting... beer in my mustache is what I'm getting.
I looked very intently at you for your review of this one.
I'm getting some of those hop notes we got in the Hawkenshore.
Kind of hoppy.
I can't speak right now. Why did the Germans have to make such good beer? They can't even say the words of the names of the brewery once they get drunk.
They probably could.
It's a real issue. Oh. Are you saying that having a native understanding of German would really help with this episode?
Yeah.
Not for the beers out.
Oh, yeah.
I can
say
Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada. No.
Can you say Sierra Nevada in your sexy German accent?
Sierra Nevada.
Ooh. Can you please talk for the rest of the episode in that voice?
No, don't please. Do
can
not.
You say
don't
more? I haven't heard this voice in a long time.
Well,
no. You have to feed him lines.
Duh.
So
Sierra Nevada is not even German.
This beer,
American,
surprisingly not as clear as the other ones.
Oh yeah. Okay. Wait. So I know we keep pushing out the taste.
Not a ton.
And then I'll ask my question.
Okay.
It bites back a little bit.
Does it?
I was gonna say it's got kind of an interesting, like it's got a very pungent, like head, and then not a lot of body, and then kind of a yeasty finish.
It reminds me a bit of a Pilsner. Like, it's not like there's not as much wheat as the other ones.
Yeah, very weak in body compared to the German.
The other ones. It's kind of like the one pump chump of our Oktoberfest.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Because
it's
like,
two pumps because it's two different breweries.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes, right here in collaboration with Bitburger Brewing.
Do you think they make hamburgers and then tell jokes at Bitburger Brewing?
I feel like it tastes like a regular beer. Could be like a lager, could be a pilsner, but just that because it uses a darker roast, that's why it gets that color. But it tastes just like this.
I mean, yeah, I get a slightly heavier malt character than something like a Pearl Snap.
Yeah,
from Austin Beer Works, but. Yeah, for the most part, it's got the body of a pilsner. It's got something very light. It's very drinkable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not as but crisp of a finish or even as smooth as the Hockerpfschorr.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's not as it doesn't feel as malt forward or weedy as some of these other ones.
This is definitely very drinkable, but in comparison, not too much of a fan.
So then, okay, so this kind of leads into my question in that. Where do we start seeing the differences of like what an authentic Oktoberfest beer is? You mentioned earlier that being brewed in a certain proximity in Germany or something adds to that.
I mean, in true, you know, it used to be a big deal about being able to actually call yourself an Oktoberfest beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Sam Adams spells October with a C and not a K. It's more of a branding thing than anything else. I think you could have, just like here in America, you can have a fantastic East Coast IPA brewed in Dallas, Texas.
Or even a Kolsch.
Yeah, or even a Kolsch. Kolsch style, it's all about branding. It's about, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So then could they be calling themselves Oktoberfest based on the style of brewing?
Yeah, Oktoberfest doesn't actually mean anything.
Okay, so it's not like it has to be brewed in Germany and stuff like that.
Just in order to be called an Oktoberfest beer at the actual festival in Munich.
They have to, okay.
There's only like six breweries that meet the standard. There are hundreds of breweries that are there also serving Marzens and Fest beers.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, they can't sell theirs as Oktoberfest, I guess, technically.
Yeah, that's like the same thing in Italy with like Neapolitan pizza.
Yeah.
They have like that same regulation where it's like very strict, but like also who gives a shit?
I mean, it's I can, you know, I can get fajitas anywhere, but true Tex-Mex is in Texas.
Yeah, I love fajitas.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not a great analogy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like the beer. It just doesn't resemble the other ones. It doesn't taste like what I have learned today, what Oktoberfest is.
What I would say is, apart from this, I think this is apart from the three beers preceding it in our little tasting here, I think it's a fantastic beer.
It's a good beer.
I'd pick up a six pack of it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good drinkable beer.
For sure. It's a lot easier to find.
Yes.
In the States.
Oh, for sure.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, I would say that Polliner is probably the easiest import to find. Oktoberfest import. I don't know if you're going to find it on draft a lot. You're going to find a lot of bottles of it in your local stores. But maybe not a ton of, say, Polliner, Eyinger, and a couple of other, like, prominent German breweries. You're going to find bottles of them in just about any liquor store or bottle shop or convenience store around this time of year.
Yeah.
But Sierra Nevada, the Sierra Nevada 2019, you might actually find on tap at any establishment that you go drink at. That being said, maybe I should have done all of our American ones first. I thought I would give us a baseline and then see differences, but...
No, I mean, I like that because now I like that. I think we do have a baseline.
I was going to say, the non-American ones are going to give you kind of a more authentic...
I'm just worried that
flavor profile.
Just worried we might end with a little bit of a fizzle instead of a bang.
Well, that'll be all right.
We've never done it before. This is new territory.
This will be a top-heavy episode.
That's fine.
But I'm a power bottom.
Now I'm going to have to edit this episode, like, for real. From Comstock, Michigan, this is Bell's Brewing Oktoberfest beer.
Oh, it's Bell's. I like Bell's.
Bell's is a fantastic brewery, one of my favorites here in the U.S. Two Hearted is a go-to of mine in the IPA category. Oberon is a fantastic wheat pale.
Oberon's great. Once again, the nose on this one is very kind of...
Oh, damn. But sour.
Just regular, very kind of regular hoppy...
I will say, lager. I love this uneven, rocky head, though, that you get with it.
Yeah.
You hit it from the top.
The head is good.
Oh, this definitely has a smell.
Yeah.
The head is good. It's a little bit lighter. It's still very coppery, but a little bit lighter.
Very hay.
Very clear.
A lot of hay in the nose.
Yeah. It's got, yeah, very kind of standard lager, but a little bit stronger.
Yeah. So, once again, Marzen. Yeah. Austin. Took a sip, not a fan, or just not a fan of the smell?
Not a fan of smell. Smells a little bit like...
smells
this one
like
kind
of sweat.
This one kind of has, to me, the weakest flavor.
Ooh, we're about to find out. I haven't sipped. So, and we know my opinion is what matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have a strong head, doesn't really have a strong body.
I have a weird aftertaste with
it. The aftertaste is kind of odd, though it is kind of yeasty. All right.
Retweet.
Yeah.
It tastes like water.
It doesn't. Yeah, this one
tastes like
really
yeast
have,
water.
Yeah, this one doesn't really have that much of a flavor.
Yeah, it's literally. Like,
I will say this
it
may have
like...
one of the prettier colors when you're looking at it.
It's true.
Love this color. Once again, a lot of smaller American craft. I guess I didn't say this before, but smaller American craft breweries are going to speed up the process and filter theirs a lot more heavily and maybe not ferment it for as long.
That would explain why it tastes like water.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it tastes like you put, you know, some wheat yeast in a cup and water and just mixed it.
So this was 5.5%, which is our second lowest. I couldn't find IBUs for it.
I'm trying to think
the Sierra Nevada was 6% with 22 IBUs, which I would say that even the Hawker for sure was a little bit hoppier than the Sierra Nevada. So
this one also seems less carbonated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Is it the bottle?
Yeah, you can see the bottle. It's got a very pretty bottle. Yeah. It's got a very autumn...
Yeah, very kind of autumn orange.
Doesn't
yeah.
really look like the other
Actually, harvest. The graphic design's pretty trash, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Does a pretty straightforward look.
It's a very regular. Yeah, it's just a very regular look.
It's a very Bell's look, where it's kind of like they do... They don't
Bell's
do
is like,
too
here's
much.
A fish, here's a sun that smiles.
And then, yeah,
a leaf.
It's literally just a leaf.
But it is orange. Very orange.
But yeah, no, it's just very watery. Like it's just in.
I don't know if I'm gonna finish this one.
I'm disappointed. I will always finish the beer on the show.
I love Bell's. This may be the first thing I've tried from Bell's that I haven't absolutely loved. I liked the Anytime or the Pool Time Ale, but that Pool Time Sour.
Is that the
that cherry sour we had? That was,
oh, I liked that one.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I didn't love it like I love Oberon or.
Yeah.
Or Two Hearted.
So. Yeah, overall, this is not great.
Yeah. This one I'm super excited for, because this is one that, I mean, even though a lot of people aren't going to get it, a lot of our Austin listeners, a lot of our Texas listeners are going to have access to this one. And so I get excited about stuff that, kind of little hidden gems of Texas beer. So this is from... 903 Brewers in Sherman, Texas.
Looks fun. Sherman?
Yep.
It's not far from Houston, right?
Not far from Houston at all.
Is 903 the area code?
Yes.
Okay. Which Sherman?
I don't know.
Because there's a Sherman in North Texas also.
Oh, it may be the Sherman in North Texas.
There's a Sherman that's like on the border of Oklahoma and Texas.
I don't know where Sherman is. Don't ask me questions.
What if it's actually from Sherman Oaks? Like,
oh my god!
Somebody's shitty apartment in L.A.
Just so I was like, yeah, Sherman's not far from Wiley, which is where I'm from.
So this is a 5.4% ABV, 35 IBUs. Very much an American take on the Oktoberfest Marzen.
Ooh,
yeah,
I like that smell.
I've heard very good things about this beer, so I'm.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the nose is.
When you get
the it's a pretty color. Oh, this is not filtered.
Say,
or it doesn't...
Not very...
Very foggy.
Very foggy compared to the other ones. I would say
this is kind of...
This is pretty
good. I thought it was crazy. I was like, is this toffee or chocolate?
It smells like a brown ale.
Kind of oaky a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, this has got a crazy scent to it.
Interesting, interesting nose.
I'm very excited.
It's a little hoppy.
Yeah, read the can, please.
Our medium-bodied Marzen Oktoberfest is a malt-forward, tasty treat. Light amber in color, the 903 Oktoberfest finishes dry and clean. The seasonal lager is rich, roasty, and quite delectable. Prost.
Prost.
I love this can, by the way.
Can's great.
The can's really cute.
It's got a.
It's very fun.
Oktoberfest is spelled out in the form of a big red beard.
And it says Prost.
That's
it's
very different.
Fun. And they have pairs
kind of coffee.
Pairs with bratwurst and pretzels. And
oh, I love that, bros. Though.
Oh, guys, we're prosting our bros. And then it says
we're broasting.
Broasting.
Okay, I want to smell it. I want to taste it.
This is fantastic. I love this beer.
It's good.
It's very different from what else we're
in love. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
I love
so
that.
There's. I will tell you guys. Do you get Tootsie Roll?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tootsie Roll is the flavor. I was gonna say something else, and then like my brain light bulb went off and was like, "This tastes like a Tootsie
very
Roll."
Very roasted, chocolatey.
This is nothing like any of the other Oktoberfests, and it might have to take a hit in the rankings because of that. But I will drink this. I will buy a 6-pack of this. Like, do not suggest anything else. This is fantastic.
I love it. Delicious.
It's a good time.
I love that clean finish.
Yeah. It's very crisp.
Especially for an unfiltered beer. It's pretty clean.
Yeah. I'm very much into this. So,
okay. So, I don't know. I keep asking you these questions.
No, ask me questions. Go for it.
But, so earlier you mentioned that Oktoberfest beers are typically very clear because of how long they sit, right? They're fermenting.
Yeah.
Why would this one be not as clear? Not even nowhere near as clear. I mean, like, you can see some shadows through.
I mean, probably just from the general idea that
this is a Texas one too.
Yeah,
so it wasn't fermented for that amount of time.
Oh, okay.
It can be. Some Texas ones are specifically. I know Carb Oktoberfest from Carbach does a 6-month fermentation process. And I only know that because when I was there the last time at the brewery and took a tour, they were talking about it was April, and they were talking about in their fermentation tanks they had their Marzen lager for Carb Oktoberfest, which is also one of my favorite things to say. I don't know what the St. Arnold Oktoberfest process is.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, once again, 903 Brewers is doing something very cool in Texas, which is that they have a small distribution radius.
Yeah.
But they're doing a lot of really fun things. So this is probably their take on a Marzen Lager. They probably switched out some ingredients.
Okay. I was going to say,
the fact that there's a... Like, because all these other ones are pretty consistent in the same flavorings.
They definitely used American hops in this as opposed to German noble hops. Like, so it's got, you know, it's got their differences to the recipe.
Yeah.
But probably sticking true to some general things. It's like, it is it's a Marzen lager.
Very much in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is very much an American take.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Guess what?
What?
I'm going to meet Brock Wagner of St. Arnold's Brewing in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Take me with you.
So excited. He's coming to the University of Houston for an event I'm doing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I'm really excited.
Take me with you.
I mean, you can come. You can totally come. But I'm super excited.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and pop that while we all think of our...
No, it's for students only. But if you go to U of H...
Students only?
If it's,
go ahead. We've got...
if you're a student at U of H and you want to come see Brock Wagner of St. Arnold Brewing, come and talk. He's the founder and a brewer of... the St. Arnold's, come and chat. It's really cool. I learned a lot. Our moderator, Aaron Chamberlain, he writes for the Austin Beer Guide and sometimes for the magazine. And he was telling me a bit about the background of like the craft beer scene. And like, it's insane. It's really interesting. And so I'm very excited to hear him speak. And so I'm going to try to be his best friend so that way he can tell me all his secrets about St. Arnold's and maybe give me a tour. That'd be dope. And then we can all go and hang out there.
Yeah, I love their brewery.
It's so
the
good.
The new place that they just opened is fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you're ever out there, go check that out. I mentioned Carb Oktoberfest and the Oktoberfest from St. Arnold. St. Arnold also just released a new Marzen. So if you want something similar to what we're talking about, but not their actual Oktoberfest, go try that.
Yeah.
Any other Oktoberfest to shout out? Sam Adams, which popularized the style.
Shiner's Oktoberfest is usually pretty consistent.
I was torn between grabbing that or Bell's. I didn't want to do too many Texas ones, though.
Honestly, Shiner's probably would have been better.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Shiner's probably would have been better.
Shots fired.
But I really wanted to have the Altstadt and the
I like the Altstadt, and I like the Sierra Nevada, even though Sierra Nevada doesn't feel like it resembles the other Oktoberfest beers. The Bills, however, disappointing, and I'm kind of wondering if I just don't like Bills Brewing. You know, the guy was so nice.
I'm gonna say not. What's the opposite of a shout out? Whisper in. I don't like. I'm advising you if you want to try out new Oktoberfest, don't do the Zilker one. Zilker Brewing.
Ooh.
I mean, we only had it. I only had it in can, but it was just so like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, no effort.
Zilker's lagers for me have been very hit or miss. I like. Do they do Pilsner? I think they do Pilsner, if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't remember.
I like their IPAs. I like their ales that they do. Their lagers have been really hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
They did a Parks and they did one that was benefiting Austin Parks and Rec that I wasn't a huge fan of, but I bought because I was like, I like the collab. I like the support. But it was a Kolsch. That's what their killer Kolsch, their killer light. And so their lager styles have been hit or miss, but...
Wait, Robbie.
Yes.
I know how we can get into this Brad Wagner U of H event.
How?
What?
We have someone we knew in high school goes to U of H.
I didn't know if he's still into U of H or not. But we'll talk about that later.
Why are you trying to heist into my event? I work it. You can come.
No, okay.
But it's not as fun unless we break in.
Oh, okay.
I mean, anyway, let's get to the rankings. When do you want to start us off?
Sure. I didn't write this down, but I kind of have an idea of what I like them. My number six is the Bell's Oktoberfest. Just not for me. I'm wondering if it's just all the beers. But I like the Oberon. So
Yeah.
I don't know. Just sad. Lackluster. My number five will be... I think it'll be the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. It's a good beer. Like, you can drink it. It tastes fine. But it's very, like, empty. Like, you don't get flavor from it. It's very sad. Okay, fine. Maybe don't drink it. I mean, drink it. Do what you want. My number four will be... I always hate this because Car kind of ranges them in, like, sort of my ranking and then doesn't. And I'm like,
You said your number five was the Sierra Nevada?
Yeah, Sierra Nevada. My number four... Oh, I remember it's because I was kind of torn. I'm going to say it was the Hacker Pshor. I didn't take notes on my Untappd. I should have taken notes on my Untappd. I mean, it was good. For me, four and up, like, I liked all of them. I think I just thought that was fine. I think the ones that stood out to me or that were more to my profile liking. Number three was the Altstadt. Was it? Yeah. It had a fuller body. It was very delicious. But I liked the crisp finish on the Palner, which is my number two. And it was, they're both very light, but I like that. If I'm going to be drinking a light beer, I like the crisper finish. So that's why that one's number two. And then number one for me is the Prost. Yeah.
The 903.
So yummy. It has the flavors that I like of stout in a Marzen Lager. Is that how you say it?
Marzen Lager?
Marzen Lager. Thank you. Which I really liked. It was, you know, it was light, easy drinking. Yeah, it's delicious. And that's Wendy with the W's rankings.
Carter?
Yeah, mine not that far off. My number one... Or my number six is the Bell's Oktoberfest. It just didn't really taste like anything, which is fine. My number five is going to be the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. I thought it was kind of strange. It had kind of an odd taste. But it was fine nonetheless. I mean, I could drink it again. Then it's going to be the Altstadt. Oktoberfest, I actually really liked this one a lot. My top four, I actually loved all four of them very much.
I feel like we're all going to say the same thing.
Yeah, very much.
About the top four.
Like, my Altstadt, the Altstadt was great. I kind of loved the very kind of odd taste of the, like, almost toast-esque flavor. It was interesting. My number three is going to be the 903 Marzen. I really liked it. It was different. Interesting. I liked how, because a lot of the stouts you get aren't normally very crisp, and so you kind of had that coffee burnt kind of flavor that you get in a stout, but a very kind of crisp beer and finish, which was an interesting combination that I liked a lot. And it wasn't terribly bitter at all. None of these were. They were all very pleasant to drink. Then it's kind of tied for first, because I love like aspects about both of them. I think I liked kind of the flavor profile of the Polliner, of like the toffee caramel, kind of, you know, lovely nose, like head on that. And then the Hacker, Hacker Shore,
Hacker Shore.
I loved the like creamy aftertaste kind of like, and all of that kind of going with it, and it was much, almost kind of like a little smoother maybe, but it didn't really have that much of a body. So if I could get the like body and head of the Polliner with the like yeasty creamy finish of of the Hacker Shore, I would be in heaven.
You would be at Oktoberfest mixing your
leaders. Yeah, I'd be mixing them up a little bit, but I think, yeah, they're kind of tied for first, but if I had to do it, I'd put the Hacker Shore second and the Polliner first.
Yeah, totally fair. Austin, Mr. Zessen.
All right, let's go number six. Let's do Alexander Graham Bell's Oktoberfest. Not really a fan, going to be honest. Couldn't finish that one. And then number five is the Hack the Planet Pissor Oktoberfest. It just, like, didn't... Maybe because I just had the Polliner right before it, but it kind of just mellowed. Nothing really, like, stood out. It was, like, Oktoberfest, but it just, eh. Number four, I think, maybe because I drank it before, but it was going to be the Sierra Online Nevada Online Casino Oktoberfest. I do like it. I like getting that six-pack. I actually just had one before we came in. I totally forgot to mention that during the beginning of the show. But
it's okay. We ended up drinking it. So
yeah, it was good. And then All the Stats October is going to be my number three. It's good. It's solid. It's I like that crisp, clean finish. And I like the notes it was bringing.
Mm-hmm.
903-1210 is... That really changed the game for me. That was like, wow, here's other stuff you can put in Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Tasted totally different.
Mm-hmm.
However,
I thought it was cool.
I don't even know if that's technically classified as October. I don't want to sound traditional.
No, but okay, but that's why I'm like, I'm curious about what all these other Oktoberfest beers are. Because, you know, they, like Robbie said, I guess it's for marketing and stuff. But I don't know. I want to try. It makes me really excited. Like, I wouldn't have grabbed an Oktoberfest before this.
Because like,
Well, it seems like a boring style because Sam Adams kind of made it the first seasonal release here in the U.S. And Sam Adams and Bell's and other breweries like that have been around since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, I know a lot of people who think, like, forget that Sam Adams is, like, a craft brewery because it's the beer Are their dad they drinks. They still count.
I learned it because of the, not the guild, not the Brewers Guild, but the Brewers Association, the bigger one, because they change the definition every year, and they kind of try to like adjust that to be able to keep the Boston Company in, just because they, you know, they keep pushing the boundaries and they kind of like are the ones that are helping.
Well,
keep,
especially now know, that beer we up. Can get into politics of beer, but especially now that Dogfish Head and Boston Beer Company are merging.
Oh shit!
So there's really now a put, especially with Dogfish Head, a company that really pushed to make that. That independent beer logo, the upside down bottle.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to be pushing to keep
make sure that they keep Boston Company. Yeah.
Because, and honestly, they should. I think the people at Dogfish Head are doing such a great job. I think at the heart of it, other than Boston, you know, Boston Lager is a classic, but like there are people doing some really cool stuff at Boston Beer Company. But have they become a marketing company? Cough, cough, Truly, Twisted Lemonade, Angry Orchard. You know.
And then, so yeah, 903-1210.
Yeah, 903 is your number three?
No, it was my number two.
What was your number three?
My All the Stats.
All the Stats, yes. Okay.
And then, number one with a bullet, Polliner Abdul. That was just so much fun to drink. I'd have, it felt very traditional Oktoberfest, but it had hints of sweetness and caramelness. And you just need to do 1.5 ounces of whiskey, a 1/2 ounce of your Polliner Abdul Oktoberfest, and a little bit of 1/2 ounce of Banan Kaffar, and 3 dashes of bitters, and you got a Bourbon Foster Polliner Abdul. So just shout out to the community right there.
Great recipe. We'll try it out.
Maybe. That actually doesn't sound good.
I wasn't listening to what you're saying. I was finalizing my results here because they're the ones that matter. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, all right.
No, all of wow. all of your rankings matter. You're all very important people with very important and distinct taste buds. Number 6, the pollen. No, it's Bell's. Yeah. Bell's tasted like nothing. I'm almost sad that I didn't grab a Carb Oktoberfest or a St. Arnold. I just didn't want to be too Texas heavy. Although that's where our audience is, so who knows?
I mean, we can't have all great beer, you know.
We gotta have one easy. Number 5 is that Sierra Nevada. Like I said, it's not a bad beer, and I can see the pros to buying like a 6-pack of it. Like, I think it'll do really well in a fridge, and like be, you know, it was definitely something that if I saw it on tap somewhere, I would definitely grab it. But maybe not over these next 4, which were really hard to order.
Yeah, they're so good. Honestly, the top 4 is what for me is like the best.
Number 4 is the Altstadt. I love that beer. I think it's really good. Like I said, I think it's my 2nd favorite I've had from them. Their Kolsch is still so, so good.
Yeah.
But the Altstadt Oktoberfest, it's got a really good body to it. It's got a good bready taste. So they're doing a great job. They're knocking it out of the park with that Marzen. My number 3 and my number 2 are so close together that I have, I was going back and forth. I think I'm going to go number 3 with the Hacker Bashor, which is just, I really liked the hop character that was coming out of that.
Yeah.
It didn't have the same body or the same malt character.
Yeah.
Which did make it different and made it stand out from the other German one, or the other German ones like Altstadt and Polymer. But I liked that malt character a lot. It was the only one, or that hop character a lot. It was the only one that had a real pronounced hop character to it that still felt like a Oktoberfest beer. Number 2, the Polliner. Those caramel notes in the first little bite of that beer and the crisp finish were fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what an Oktoberfest beer is supposed to be. They killed it with that one. It's a fantastic pickup anytime you can get it. And then number 1, I know I said it might suffer some points, but I think I have to. It still fits in line with some of my favorite beers I've had on this show, some of my favorite things. It's very similar to that Santo Black Kolsch. I loved the 903. I think it might be my favorite. It's a fantastic beer. So just to run through that again, 6 Bell's, 5 Sierra Nevada, 4 Altstadt, 3 Hacker Bashor, 2 Polliner, and number 1 903 Brewing Oktoberfest Marzen.
Did we have similar rankings?
What?
Did you and I have a similar ranking?
We only swap Altstadt and Hacker Bashor.
Okay.
Which I would expect, considering you're not as big of a fan of hops as I am.
Yeah.
But you put the number one you chose did have the most hops out of anything we had. So
can you believe that? Look how far I've come. Yeah. Thanks, you.
So thank you guys for listening to this episode. Hopefully you guys go out and try some of these Oktoberfest beers yourself. They are very good, and I'm a big fan. Usually Oktoberfest seems kind of boring when you're talking about seasonal releases.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we ended up with 5 very good distinct choices.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
And 1 beer that tasted like nothing. So
awesome.
Yeah. Anyone have average. Anything to pub, anything like that?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, no. You can follow me at Wendy with the W on all my social platforms and Untapped, just because I want to talk to you. Be my friend. And shout out to Sal on her fantasy league, because I wish him nothing but the best.
You can find me on Twitter at CA Spilliards, like spill something yarn and S. For all those film fracas stands out there, we promise it's coming back. Eventually.
We've been promising since episode 1 of this podcast.
Yeah, we're doing some retooling. And
are we?
Maybe. We'll see. I have some ideas. So hopefully we'll get that up and running in the next few weeks. We all were kind of off for the summer, and we're getting back to it now. So yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah, Austin?
On Twitter, at amzessin, A-M-Z as in zebra, E-S-S-I-N. Everything else, I'm not on TikTok. I'm thinking about doing that. Should I?
I don't have a TikTok account, but I can't remember. I can't remember. It's just to follow people.
It's just to follow Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it, actually, I am exclusively following Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
you use a TikTok?
That was literally the only thing Carter told me about it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Maybe I should get on TikTok.
I follow Arnold Schwarzenegger and a farmer who does a lot of funny stuff with his chickens.
Oh, that's so adorable. You have to do TikTok.
Dance around. It's hilarious.
How wholesome.
If you start recording TikToks, then I'll get a TikTok.
Yeah. But other than that, nah. Just that. Just Twitter.
All right. Thanks for... Also, Austin is back in Austin. We're very happy to have you.
Yeah.
I'll
be around. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter and Untapped at Robbie DeShazer. You can come see me do live improv if this comes out Thursday. So Monday the 16th of September. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks after that, I'll be doing some more improv in October. Mm-hmm. Come out and see those shows. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If this comes out Thursday, I just did improv last night, so I did well, I'm sure.
Great job.
Follow the show at Untapped Show on Twitter, and as always, please, please, please drink responsibly.
Love you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tap Heads. Make sure to give the show a 5-star rating wherever it is that you're listening. It really does help the show out. If you want to help buy us a beer, you can by going to anchor.fm/tapheads and click support this podcast. We love the support from our fans and we will be eternally grateful to you. You can always follow the show on Twitter at tapheadsshow. And finally, remember to always drink responsibly. Thanks for listening and we'll be back with a new episode soon.